and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful, and I am joined by Lady Charlotte of Tinworth. How are you?
I am good, but tired. No, I'm great.
She's good, but she's tired, but she's here. We're here. We're exhausted, and but we're ready to go. We're ready to fight. We're fired up. We want to talk about House of the Dragon. You're wondering, who is this? Who is this Lady Charlotte? Well, welcome my wife, friends, okay? this is kind of this is a fun little episode. We're kind of running behind a little bit, just in terms of like, Matt and I did a quick 10-minute episode,
as some of
you heard. That was crazy. That was wild. He is in Hawaii. We tried yesterday to talk, and it was. I don't know. It's far away. Hawaii is far away. the internet was not working for us, and also I'm in a new spot too right now, so the internet was a little bit touchy for me. But it is what it is. Can we start with some news real quick though?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Some breaking news. Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You're a big, I mean, you like the royal family. Don't
I do.
You kind of follow?
I do.
You've met the queen.
I kind of. No, you couldn't say met.
You were on first name basis.
I was, yeah.
Right. You had tea with her.
No, I was at Windsor Castle when I was traveling through England. And that day happened to be a day when the queen was there.
I see.
So she was just in the courtyard and people were... We were just, you can, part of the castle you can walk through, and then people started running to the windows, and I'm like, what's going on? And everyone was like, it's the queen is outside, Elizabeth. Yeah, and I saw her, I took a picture with my phone, and you have to zoom in really hard to see her. But she's just, you know, little old lady,
Was she doing the little, like, the little?
No, she was just walking. And she wasn't waving at anyone, she was just there for... Oh. Business or...
Wow. That ended up not being as cool as I thought I was going to be. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, yeah. But I kind of saw her with my own eyes, you know, like through a window.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That's cool. I mean, I don't know. Like, I heard about that today and, you know, first of all, sad, right? I mean, it's just because she was the longest ruling monarch.
Oh, yeah. But at the same time, I mean, 96. I mean...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She
lived
had
a long,
life,
good life.
Right?
Yeah,
for sure. So I know they're... It's country in mourning, so we just wanted to kind of mention that. It just happened. Today. We're at school. All of my students were, like, walking by. Some of them were they were talking about the queen. They're looking up the queen. How long did she... Like, you know, it's one of those things where all of my students, the buzz was all about her and her legacy and everything. I thought, wow, that's really interesting. And then, you know, we have our big talk about the Targaryen dynasty and stuff.
Yeah, totally. I thought about that. Yeah, because we talked about earlier, okay, who's next in line? Who could be next in line if so-and-so steps away and does not want to be king? Like, how does that work? And it's still... That system is still there, kind of. So it's
I mean, it's crazy how she got there. Like you know, what was it? Her brother, Queen Elizabeth's brother, that abdicated. No. Someone, but her uncle or something, right? Somewhere, but like along the way, someone abdicated. Again, I'm not there yet in my history books yet, so I gotta get through. Or the queen? What's the show? There's a Netflix show about her.
Really?
What was that?
The Crown.
We
gotta watch it. Oh,
the Crown.
That was about her?
I think so.
I started watching the first episode, and then I started watching... So,
yeah.
I started watching The Crown first episode, and Bridgerton the first episode, and I had to choose which one I wanted to continue.
Which way
to
go?
Guess what? I ended up
watching
Bridgerton.
Yeah. The Crown is a historical drama television series on the reign of Queen Elizabeth II.
Okay.
And I believe... Matt Smith, who plays Daemon Targaryen, I think was in that. I think he was in the cast. Again,
cool.
Matt Smith, right there. So Daemon, you know, the Rogue Prince was in that. It just kind of fitting, thought I'd mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's better at these things. He kind of knows, you know, actors and stuff like that. I lose track of them real quick, so I apologize if I got that wrong, but I think he's in it. Just wild, right? So, you know, she was the longest reigning monarch and right before Viserys, so Lottie has never read the books.
Right.
She only watches the show. She watched Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, all of it.
And then we've been getting into this, and she's always, so she's my watch partner, right? We watch it. We react to it. She's sort of like, wow. And then I get on here, I talk with Matt, and we break it all down. So yeah, she has lots of questions, and we're going to kind of go through those. But before, mm-hmm. you know, Viserys, when right before him is Jaehaerys, and he's like okay. called the Old King. The Old King because he reigned for so long. And so
okay.
it makes me kind of think
yeah.
of, you know, Elizabeth, and like mm-hmm. there was peace under his reign and his rule. And that's something Viserys is trying to live up to, wanting to have that time of peace and also being, you know, looking out for essentially the darkness that is to come, you know, in the Song of Ice and Fire series.
Yeah.
That's like the big new thing, which is that you're looking out for the White Walkers.
Yeah.
That you have to be prepared and everything. So I don't know. Just kind of wild. It's an interesting connection today. And again, our hearts go out to that country. It's going to be weird. Yeah. You know, the things they were talking about today were like they have to like rename everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's based around the queen.
Yeah.
And then so now it's like God Save the King.
Yeah.
Right? So
I mean, almost a century it's been the queen, right? Not really.
Yeah.
She was in off. When did she? 21? She was 21 or something?
She was 21 when she, yeah, was crowned. Yeah. So, and that's cool because it was the first one that we got to see. You know what I mean? It was the
yeah.
first one that everyone, you can actually watch it and stuff.
True.
So.
Yeah. That was a big deal with the cameras. The first time they had cameras there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. And then we are kind of watching again. We'll probably get to see another royal mm-hmm. coronation in yeah. House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
And in real life, I guess. I don't know. So anyways, let's dive into this, and I just want to give you guys a little hello there, welcome, get the mics rolling on this. But Sir Matt, we'll be back, just in news, we're going to be back for episode 4, and we will be kind of chatting about the upcoming episode 4. So,
oh yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
It's coming out Sunday, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, coming mm-hmm. out Sunday, yeah. So we'll be back. I think he's going to call in, I think he'll still be in Hawaiian, so we'll kind of cover that. So, and before we get going too far, also, if you guys are interested, by the way, while I have Lady Charlotte here, we do run a podcast. It's called Shell Cottage Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It is our little Harry Potter podcast. I know you're yeah. like, I don't know that. Yeah, I'm mentioning it, and I'm glad that you're on this episode because it's just fun. You've been doing such a good job over there, and you guys here know that I run a lot of different podcasts with yeah. different friends, and it's so much fun.
Yeah,
and
it is our fun little family project, and yeah. We love talking about Harry Potter, too. So
I mean, we sometimes slip into different conversations. It's really more of a what are we watching and what's going on. I feel like our cottage catch-up session is more just about, like, I reference Rings of Power, House of the Dragon, Star Wars references make it on there.
All the time, yeah.
It's crazy. It's just sort of who we are. And
if you're just a big nerd like us, I think you're going to like it, yeah.
Yeah, I think you would like it, too. It's a lot of fun. Good ambience over there. So go check it out. Shell Cottage Radio. You'll find. I'll put a link down for it in the description, but a lot of fun. So thank you to Charlotte for helping us, for joining in here. Let's dive into this, though. What have been your initial thoughts on... So we're going to talk about this episode, mm-hmm. but I just mean in general, watching the first 3 episodes. Like, how are you feeling? Are you shocked? Mm-hmm. Is it exciting? Are you liking it? Do you think it's good? You know,
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay. I really enjoy watching. I can't wait for the next episode. It took me a little bit to get into Game of Thrones just because I'm a little, you know, what would you call it? A wimp. I just, when I watch TV shows that are, you know, for adults, I just don't care for like scenes that are pretty brutal to
yeah.
watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I know it's just, you know, acting and it's good acting and it's good costumes yes. and, yeah. you know, fake blood and all that stuff. But for some reason, I just have a hard time watching someone really, like, I don't know, you know, like hitting someone in the head for, you know, those scenes
it started this episode at episode 3 where
right
the crab feeder is like handing
somebody.
I just
look away. So that's my thing. I can watch that show because it's so entertaining. But when scenes like that come up, I just look away and it's like, oh, hopefully I'm not missing anything. But I just wait until that scene kind of is over. So that's why it took me a little bit to get into Game of Thrones. But once I was hooked, I was hooked. I mean, like, the story and the shock. This is the first time we have so many characters, you know, that we thought we were going to have until the end. And they were really important if you haven't read the books.
Right.
Very shocking things. But I think this show, it is totally like Game of Thrones feeling, but totally different too.
Yeah.
And I almost like it better.
Do you really? Yes.
So far, I know it's only 3 episodes so far.
Right, right.
But I love the characters. I love the, you can already see, okay, so many things are going to, you know, get intriguing and people are going to, there's so much potential for the characters to have, to develop in different directions. And even if you read the books, you don't really know where it's going, right?
Right. Well, that's something Matt and I talk a lot about, which is there's an outline and yet things are already a little different. There's the biggest drop on all of us was that there's this secret that is passed down from the heir, right? To the heir, right? So Rhaenyra gets that secret and Viserys has to pass it on. It's very important to kind of secure your line, figure out who that is. And that actually, when you think back to like the Old King, just real quick to get kind of a you know, nerdy for folks.
Yeah.
When you think back to the Old King and the Council of 101 AC, where they chose Viserys, you see there's this Queen Rhaenys, like the queen who never was. She's married to Corlys Velaryon.
Mm-hmm.
She was up there too. And it was like, could it have been her or is it going to be Viserys? And it ends up being Viserys. But like the reason, and all these names sound really close, but the reason King Jaehaerys before him, like he needed to pass that secret on.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to, while he's alive, have an heir so he can have that conversation or leave a note or something. So,
leave a note.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, hey, we and that might be one of the things too. You've got to look at like, okay, if the secret's going to be, it's passed down to Rhaenyra, then it's up to her to pass it on to the next person or whatever. You know what I mean? It's sort of, you got to be, the secret's important to preserve.
Yeah.
So its preservation is at the start of all of this, and it's something we're going to kind of follow or whatever. But you're right, though. There are things in the books there are things in the show that are not necessarily in the books.
Right.
And I think that's really cool, and we're learning new and different things. People were looking for this character, kind of a court gesture. Mushroom is his name.
Okay.
And he typically will tell you kind of like, this is what, you know, dirty rumors about what was happening and who's sleeping with who and what's going on.
Oh, like that. There were two guys in Game of Thrones.
Like Viserys. The Varys. That was Varys.
Yes. Yeah.
Varys and then Littlefinger.
Yeah, Littlefinger. Yeah.
So a little bit like they're more storytellers. And so right now they haven't, I mean, he hasn't made an appearance in, as far as I know, unless he's just in the background somewhere, but... Yeah, so some things are changing and some things are different. We're getting where there was a void in the series, it's being filled. Like things, for example, that first episode when Viserys was sort of in on the decision, right? To like, does he save, who does he save? Does he try to save his child, his wife?
Oh,
it was such a hard, I know, it's such a hard scene. And I don't even like to bring it up, but it was just, that's one of those things we didn't know how much input he had on that. As a book reader. And then so you're watching in the show, you're like, wow, this is amazing. So, and then now I guess for a show only watcher, which is what you are, right? You have no idea.
Right.
Which way this goes, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know who, like who to trust or who's,
right.
I mean, so what, who I guess would be your kind of your favorite character? Like who do you like most right now?
Oh, yeah. I love every, like Rhaenyra. I know she is like the main character.
Yeah,
and,
yes.
But... I love seeing her acting. I'm totally like sucked into her story arc, and she reminds me so much of Daenerys. And she's supposed to like like you said, she probably studied her a little bit to be someone different, but at the same time remind you of her.
Yeah,
and it's probably the other way around since she's older. So Daenerys probably reminds you of Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
But the connection to the dragons, the you know, like she wants. Something different. She as a woman, she's destined to be just, you know, just. I'm not saying just, but to be a wife and a mother. That's what everyone wants of her, to marry and to have children.
Right.
And she's like, but I want to do something else. I don't just identify through that.
Yeah, yeah, and, yeah. Right. Which is cool. I mean, I think you like you saying that. I bet that the actress, and again, both of them, because we're going to have an older version of her soon, who, like, they are trying to channel, what does it mean to be a Targaryen? What does that look like? Well, you know, Dany is the Targaryen that we know.
Yeah.
So I feel like even all of them have to kind of, what is it like to be a part of this family and to carry yourself like a Targaryen? Well, she is, right? She and her brother Viserys for a short time in season one are your Targaryens that we see. And so it's just really interesting to I guess from an acting perspective and then just storytelling, you know, look at the text that George R. R. Martin has, but then at the same time sort of draw from Emilia Clarke's performance, which was awesome. And she's Khaleesi. We love her.
Can I add something, though?
Yes.
It's not just her. I also, surprisingly, so her father, I think every time I see him, I feel like, his struggle is real. He is a father. He loves his daughter.
Yeah.
He loved his wife, his first wife.
Absolutely, yes.
And that was traumatic. Like this, and he still has all these duties, like he said, after his wife's death, like a day or two after, everyone asked him about, oh, you got to remarry, like you got to, you know, you have duties as a king, and there's time to mourn the death of his wife. And now he's in this impossible situation that he made his daughter his heir, which is new and
is controversial.
Definitely controversial.
Right.
First time that happens. And he produced a son with his daughter's best friend. Like, I mean,
it's crazy, isn't it? When you say it out loud.
Wild.
It is wild, yeah.
But actually, that's not what I wanted to say. I actually wanted to talk about Daemon.
Daemon Targaryen, yes.
I like his character. I know this is probably crazy because he has definitely an evil, brutal side.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's something about him, like that, especially in that last episode, I was like shocked.
Right. Yeah.
I was shocked that he was ready. He was ready to die. And I was, I love that they have these little 5 to 10 minutes at the end where the producers talk about the episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's so interesting when they share their, what they, you know, like their vision of the episode and why they did certain things and why characters did certain things. And they were like, he was basically, he should have died so many times on that battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should have.
And then the grand entrance of the dragons who save the day.
Right.
I mean, that's the Targaryen. It's the age where all the dragons are still alive. And that's
power.
The power. Yeah, they have the power because of the dragons.
Right, right. And so the only way the crab feeder is surviving in this is by hiding in those caves and stuff. So he comes in strong.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And you're not exactly sure when that is. You know, we see just this, that he's there. When we go back to King's Landing, we realize, okay, it's been 3 years, right? So we've got young Aegon II. So Allison is also pregnant and stuff like that. So that's just to kind of set up again and a reminder as to where we're at in episode three. That's exactly how this whole thing starts. And it's interesting. So for you, Rhaenyra is one of your favorite characters. Mm-hmm. And then Daemon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I could tell you more. I wish I could tell you what's going to happen. I can't. I'm not going to do that because I want to really see what you think and what you think, just how much you enjoy this. And by the way, someone mentioned to Sir Matt and I, like, hey, you know, I was listening, but you guys started to kind of get into spoilers a little bit, you know, book spoilers. So I think we're really going to try to be cautious with that and just talk about what we've seen.
Because lots of people just watch the show as well.
Lots of people just watch it, yes. So we'll do, once we go full spoiler, I think I'll say, like, obviously we're talking full episode spoiler, but when we talk about book spoiler, I'm going to be much more conscious of that in the future. I think in episode two, I probably got a little carried away, which I do sometimes just in terms of talking about, oh my gosh, like that's going to matter. Seeing something now and saying, I think I know how that matters and where that's going with the story is fun for me. It's just, it's really neat. So I think people who have read Fire and Blood would like that as well, but it just kind of needs to do something that we do maybe in the extended edition that Sir Matt and I do for folks. But for now, it's when we mention Easter eggs or dragon eggs, it's going to be stuff that just ties into the history or that's a cool tie-in to A Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are happening in this episode that tie into later on.
Yeah, what did you think about the episode?
Yeah, so I loved it. Yeah. Matt and I were losing our minds just in terms of like what this was and what it represented. It did so much. I didn't think I would like King Viserys as much as I do. I mean, he's really just, when you read about him, he's very There's a few paragraphs.
Okay.
It's not a whole lot. I mean, there's enough there. You know, it's really more of how he deals with his brother.
It's
him dealing with Damon, the Road Prince. Damon being upset that he wasn't named heir, but also always supporting his brother, looking out for him, etc. Being, you know, proud that, like, they're next up, sort of. I mean, because it could have gone a completely different way.
Yeah.
Like, when his brother was chosen, before he was chosen, Damon, like, marshaled, like, an army, the forces, was, like,
I know.
Ready to go.
And that's why I think his character is so interesting.
Yeah.
He actually did support his brother. He was... It wasn't, like, completely, I hate everybody, and I just want to be king. I just want to destroy. There's more to his character and his personality. Yeah.
And I see people online saying things like, I don't know. Like, they're like, I don't know why. It's also Matt Smith's a great actor. And I think someone said in this, he only has a few lines in the very beginning. Like, one or two lines. Where he's yelling at the crab feeder, telling him to come out. Where are you? And stuff like that. But other than that, he doesn't say a thing, which is pretty cool. It's just a very silent, just a lot of acting in terms of his body language, what he's doing, action sequences and stuff like that.
Right.
So he does a great job. But yeah, he's a really dynamic character, and I don't know. It's he's back and forth. He's one of those characters that George R. R. Martin likes to write in terms of he's real. He has sides of him that are, I don't know, lustful, sides of him that are, like, maybe more honorable, more kind of like, I also want to prove myself as a second son.
Yeah.
And just really interesting. Really interesting. I mean, loyalty to family, too, for sure. And Targaryens. So just interesting guy. Overall, again, the episode was awesome. It was full of really cool things. I keep going back to King Viserys because he is... I've seen so many different emotions. In the even though the jumping around between time periods and stuff, you see him... so happy at the start of this with his son and having more children and saying, I didn't know. I never dreamed this would happen. I didn't think this would be the case. It's almost as if he chooses Allison Hightower in the last episode to get everybody off his back. And I'm not going to marry Laena Valerion.
I mean, he's like 12.
Right. It's just, you know, I honestly think he would even though it just secures their houses and all that kind of stuff and it's an alliance, it would have been laughed at, honestly, around the realm. So, yeah, Allison is at least a woman and you know, he could start having children right away with and all that kind of stuff. So that's a little bit better. I think they make her a little bit younger in the TV show than she is in the Allison Hightower, I think.
Is she supposed to be a little bit older than Rhaenyra?
I think so. And you guys can check me on that in the comments. Let me know. I'm just going off the top of my head here. Mm-hmm. Not in my normal setup where I've got all my references, but I think so from memory. Anyways, you know, Alicent is the choice and he's happy. He has this, everyone's sort of doting on Aegon II, his son. So, and she's pregnant with another child.
Yeah, I know.
Right? So, yes.
Okay. Two things, about her. Just, I'm looking at a picture of her and for some reason, maybe it's just her look or her demeanor at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
She reminds me of Sansa a little bit.
Sansa?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
For some reason, yeah.
Just in her posture and her demeanor. And then she has a nervousness with her fingers. Have you noticed that?
Okay.
Like she plays
not
with
really,
her
no.
Yeah, she picks her nails a lot.
Okay.
In the last episode, they were bloody.
Oh.
It's a small,
so that's important.
Little detail just to see that. Really what it does, whether it's super significant or not, it just shows you more about that character without doing anything acting-wise. It's just, I mean, she's acting by playing with her hands.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
wow.
And picking her nails, and they're bleeding and stuff.
Wow.
And there's one quick line where I think her father says, stop that. You know, knock it.
Ooh,
and it's
okay.
A tell a little bit, and maybe as she grows as a character, she stops that, or she starts to become more regal. And there might be a time later on where, and I'm just... This is not like spoiler. I'm just hypothetical.
Yeah.
I would imagine if you're going to try to tell a story.
Why would you include that?
Yeah, that's like
if that doesn't play a role later.
It's going to play a role. Yeah. And right now it does play a role in terms of just indirect characterization. Yeah. You're looking at her going, okay, she's really nervous about this. And I think, you know, it's meant to kind of make you question, was she, we see that she's sent in by her father.
I was going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my second thing.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah.
You already got the dad was already, was he really like already thinking about that? That, okay, if you go in there right now, you're beautiful, you're very empathetic.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he already planting the seed?
I think so.
Truly.
I mean, right, because the one thing he does say when she goes in, she's sort of like, you know, okay, go say a kind word to him, etc. But the key line was, wear one of your mother's dresses.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay. True.
Which is to kind of, again, present her figure and all that right. stuff or whatever. So, yeah, he definitely is. He is actually several steps ahead. What that does is it sort of shows you that Otto was thinking the moment, like, the pregnancy's happening, she's at court, she's around, she's friends with Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
So already there, befriending Rhaenyra could have been something even before we started watching episode one that Otto was already saying. That was probably a whisper in her ear, which is, hey, make sure you're friends with Rhaenyra.
Oh, gosh. You know what I mean? Okay, so
He's that type of player. He's already started to play the Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And he's been playing it for years. He understands Daemon. So this is where people got to understand, like, Otto Hightower is the real deal. He may not look like it, and I think he's meant sometimes to look like he's maybe making moves that aren't, like, when he goes out and he faces down Daemon on the, you remember when he takes the army there and Daemon's like, I got a dragon. And it's not until Rhaenyra shows up that you're like, okay. So it doesn't look that smart, but it also does a lot for Otto Hightower in terms of, I'm going to go speak on behalf of my king.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go sort of, you know, just be a representative and talk to him, and you know, he's the hand of the king, so he's the second most powerful kind of, you know, person. But he's been working to get Daemon away from Viserys for some time because he understands Daemon, and he understands that, one, he's reckless and he could cause trouble. And as Daemon pointed out, he realizes that Otto Hightower has sort of got Viserys played a little bit, and he sees that. So he might not actually articulate it very well, or he just knows it. And he's keeping an eye on him for his brother, but he doesn't outright mock him or outright tell his brother until the very end of that first episode or whatever that, you know, this is, that, but you're getting played.
Yeah.
They think you're a fool. Like, they essentially think you're a fool. So, but Otto has been playing the Game of Thrones well before we ever even start episode one, which is cool. And they did that, again, through the friendship. And then you see that she goes in there and she's talking to him. Because later on, like, the Valyrians are like, okay, let's present Laena. Well, the game's already started. He's already seen her, and she said really kind. By the way, she's super genuine, actually. When she goes in, I think Otto at least knows his daughter, and I think she is a kind, caring, compassionate person. Yeah. At least what her acting is showing me is that, like, she genuinely was going in there to comfort the king.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and she really is trying to help and say a kind word, and when I lost my mother, and she's really making this empathetic kind of connection. Right. So then you're like, all right. I mean, it kind of goes to a stage that she didn't want it to go to, but her father's sort of pushing her in that direction.
But at the same time, she kind of does love him at the end. Now, like, now. Yeah.
Yeah, now for sure. I mean, I feel like that was, we don't get to see it a lot. It's the pacing of it is pushed. We have to sort of suspend our, I don't know, we don't get to see all those intimate details or whatever. Yeah. We just see this, like, she builds up a few romantic nights with him or whatever, or nights where she's sort of comforting him and he is rushed in terms of his choice.
Yeah.
And so Otto, again, knowing that it's going to happen, says, well, actually, my daughter's right there. I'm the hand and she can give you children right now. Yeah. And she's also someone who can talk to him on a level that Laena or others could not.
No.
You know what I mean? So if you have to, that's your choice. Not that he wanted to.
Right.
And he truly did love, you know, Emma Arryn, his first wife.
Yeah.
But now it's like they have children together and this new joy comes in. So I think they love one another and they're going to have, they at least have two, you know, one child, if not a second one on the way.
Yeah.
So
how heartbreaking, though. I think they did a great job at showing the intimate relationship in terms of friendship that she had with Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
That they did. I mean, the first two episodes were great, showing that they always hang out together. They talk about everything. And that really breaks that friendship apart.
Yeah.
Because I mean, for Rhaenyra, it's like, wow, how can I live? My best friend now is my father's wife.
Crazy.
And her son is my brother.
Right.
And now this is weird because I'm the heir, but also I have a brother now.
Yeah.
Who should be the heir. It's,
I know you've never seen the show.
He couldn't have done it any better in terms of, we want to know what happens because this is crazy.
Yeah. Well, people from the States who are listening will know what the show is. It's a show called Jerry Springer. And situations like this pop up on that show from time to time, where they come in and they figure out, like, who's the father of my child? And on different crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And it's totally fake and made up probably. But crazy. Kind of feels like that a little bit in terms of the relationship between he and Allison Hightower at first. And then it's, you know, a little bit more normal.
Yeah. But
let's just say it's Game of Thrones and it's not, it's not over. There's plenty more craziness to come.
And you saying Otto played the Game of Thrones well before this.
Yeah.
It just shows you again, like in Game of Thrones, we see how powerful those people are who work in the background, who are the hand of the king, you know, who actually have all the strings in their hands and pull the strings from the background more, or from, you know, out of your sight, really.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, is that you got to watch some of these secondary characters. And,
yeah.
And, you know, while we're at it, so for some of you who are, you know, you're into the books, I'll give you a little bit here, just a kind of an Easter egg, something that popped up. We do see a character in this, several new characters, mm-hmm. actually. I think it's Larys Clubfoot is in this, and he is, I believe... I'm trying to think. I'll have to look him up here. But you have, like, House Strong. So you have Lionel Strong's sons. Yes, that's who they are. Okay. First is the appearance of Larys, who has an injured foot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of deformed. And he has sort of, like, he says, like, there's a hunt going on. And he comes in and sits with the other ladies. Do you mind if I sit down?
Yeah.
Interesting character to keep an eye on. He's named, and he shows up and sits down with them. So, I mean, you know, like, you're mentioning these, like, side characters,
mm-hmm.
and that's something in Game of Thrones, it's the beauty of it, is who is this guy, which house does he belong to, and what is his role here? Everyone's like out for themselves. It's you're chasing a throne, you're chasing like a connection or a tie to House Targaryen. The dragons, they have the most power. So to see Otto Hightower there doing this, now to see House Strong. So House Strong also, it's mentioned that his other son was captain of the City Watch. So once Daemon sort of gives up that role, his other son was mentioned. So House Strong is just a house to pay attention to,
right?
Big time. So I want to mention it. There were Easter eggs kind of dropped in here for folks. You also had the Lannister twins.
Yes.
Right?
That was awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we see those two twins. Jason Lannister, I think, was the twin who was asking for Rhaenyra's hand in marriage, I believe.
Yeah.
And the other one was sort of saying, hey, we need to go and support your brother. Daemon and Corlys are getting beat. It does not look good. We need to go do something. And when we learn that the king does, at the end of all this, he will send his army. But Daemon doesn't want that. He wanted to win this on his own.
Yeah.
So it ends up being this nice little, like, I sent aid. You got my message. The messengers can come back and say it was delivered, unless they are all dead. I don't know. He was beating that one guy up. You know, Daemon was like, took his helmet off and was like beating that messenger. But it's important because the Lannisters are kind of saying, like, hey, we need to do something.
Yeah.
And it's important. And you sort of see two sides to the Lannisters. They're twins. One was more kind of playful in trying to get this power alliance with Rhaenyra, right?
Yeah.
His lady wife, as he said she could be, and she was disgusted and not happy with that at all.
Yeah.
And then the other one seemed to be genuinely concerned about the realm and the state of the realm. Now, I am wondering, and I'm just even though I've read the book, thinking, what does he really want? What is this guy really after? Because he seemed more sincere. The other guy's play is pretty obvious. Yeah. He's trying to become, you know, through a marriage alliance, closer to House Targaryen in power. He talks about building her a dragon pit and everything. And so very interesting. I thought it was cool that they're twins, right? So you think back to our Lannister twins from the series, Jaime and Cersei. And so it was kind of cool to see Tywin and Jason Lannister there. So
But even more shocking than... you know, Viserys gets all these, I mean, he gets tons of letters because everyone is pushing him now that he named, I mean, Rhaenyra heir that she needs to marry, and everyone, of course everybody wants to marry her. I mean, and then Otto Hightower, right? He suggested that Rhaenyra should marry his little, her little brother, Aegon, to solve all the problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Because then it wouldn't be a question anymore. Okay, you named her heir, but now you have a son who should be heir. Well, if they get married, then both are king and queen. So, so problem solved, right?
Right.
That easy. Just marry your 17 years younger brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, and so for a while, I mean, she wouldn't have to. I mean, obviously, she'd just wait for
right,
him to grow
that's
up or
her,
whatever, and and all that. So Otto kind of says, "Yeah, just it solves everything. You can just she can wait. She can be on her own. She doesn't have to do anything. just,
you know, Jimmy, every holiday season, I find myself with a dilemma. At my wife's extended family Christmas, we do a white elephant gift, and I never know what to get.
Well, Matt, spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. All in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling.
Yeah, they scour the globe for original handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of my favorite gifts that I found on their website. Things like chocolate from around the world, handcrafted cribbage boards, wine glasses, bourbon sets, just about anything you want to find that would be a unique or uncommon gift they have in their selection.
And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts that you can personalize.
And from holiday hosts to hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selections you can find just anywhere.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee. That's uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
She even will be sort of in charge while he is younger and coming of age.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the other individual who was mentioned in this, so Lord Lionel Strong is the one who mentions Laenor Velaryon. So after Otto Hightower dips out, then it's like, okay, Lord Strong says, I think you should go with House Velaryon.
Yeah.
So, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Lots of different marriage proposals, interesting, you know, kind of connections and stuff there in terms of who she should marry and what you know, what to do, really.
Right.
So, it's Sir Harwin Strong, who King Viserys mentions. He's the one who name drops Lord Lionel's other son. So he's like, oh, I'm supposing you think that she should marry Harwin Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you flatter me, Your Grace, but no. Right. And he mentions someone else.
Yeah.
So he mentions Laenor. So there's that. And it is, he has a moment later on where he's talking to Alicent in front of the tower or in front of the fire. They're out on the hunt. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I never thought I'd be in this situation. I had lost sort of hope. He lost his wife. He wasn't sure. He named Rhaenyra because he needed an heir. Everything was so uncertain. And now, did he make a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Was sort of his thought, his thinking. So it's crazy. And, you know, and one of the things that they're trying to do in this whole episode is they're on the hunt and they're hunting this stag.
Yes.
They're in the Kingswood and they're looking for sort of a symbol, the White Hart. They're looking for the white stag, which actually Rhaenyra sees at the end, right?
Yeah.
They're looking for that because that would indicate sort of if he could kill it and if he could kill it on Aegon's name day, it's a very strong symbolic tie for Aegon, right? It would be like the realm would sort of be like, look, you know, we got the white stag.
Yeah.
This is how we almost like, this is going to sound crazy, our little Shell Cottage Radio podcast here, but you know, we did cover the Fantastic Beasts and the Chillin'. People are probably like laughing and like, are you kidding? The Chillin' just came up to you and like, what? Fantastic Beast is being mentioned?
Half of the people are like, what's a Chillin'?
What's a Chillin'? Yeah, if you haven't seen it, I mean, it's how they're picking the new wizarding leader of the Wizarding World Confederation or whatever of wizards. But they use this mystical creature called a Chillin' to walk around.
Pure, exactly.
Yeah. So that's sort of what I think the stag's, you know, is, right? It's symbolic of that. And the fact that he doesn't get it, he does kill a stag. And then he even uses, by the way, he uses a Lannister lance.
Oh.
And you think about House Baratheon being stags, and you have Robert Baratheon in
totally symbolic, yes.
And the Lannisters end up kind of killing him. He's also extremely drunk in this during this hunt.
And he needs some help, like his the guy says, a little bit to the left, you know?
Yeah. You're off just a little bit, right? And then so what's later on is Rhaenyra is attacked by a wild boar, which is what killed Robert Baratheon. So all of these and he was too drunk during that or whatever, but it's because Cersei and everybody were filling his cup so much that he might stumble and make a mistake. It's dangerous on the hunt.
Yeah.
Right? So they're actually holding the stag so he can stab it, and he's got the Lannister spear there to do so. So all of those were little kind of tie-ins and little Easter eggs that kind of take you back to the main series. And I thought that was really cool. I thought it was really cool to kind of see that. And for people who, it's just rewarding, right? As you're watching it, you're like, that is rewarding in terms of like making those connections back there. So, yeah.
And then the music when Rhaenyra comes back to the camp, I'm like, whoa, let's go.
I
really expected her to have the white stag killed in her, I don't know,
dragging it over her shoulder, something like that.
I got it.
Yeah, no, she let it go.
Yeah.
She let it go. And I mean, that says something to her as well. Just super interesting. Now, another thing, I don't want to miss this too. So we're right at that time in the episode. Mm-hmm. Sir Criston Cole is there with her.
Mm-hmm.
He's just out. Remember the Kingsguard? Mm-hmm. He's just out there with her. She picked him. I owe you. You picked me. This is the highest honor for anyone from House Cole. So you see their bond and relationship starting to kind of form, which is pretty cool. What do you think about that? I want to get your thoughts because I'll just say it's super important. It's super significant. Do you like it? Do you trust him? Do you think he's a cool guy? What do you think?
Well, if you ask it like that, now I feel like I shouldn't trust him because we do.
No, isn't that what you ask? Don't you, in every character in Game of Thrones or House of Dragons, don't you ask, do I trust that guy? No, I'm just kidding.
Gosh,
you're right.
I don't know. He seems like a guy you would trust and who's honest. Does. And
yes, he's a member of the Kingsguard.
Yeah.
An honorable guy.
And she definitely does. She definitely likes him.
Yeah.
Who knows if romantically or not.
Right.
Because we see them together for a whole night. I mean, they're just chilling out by the fire talking. Yeah. And then later on, her father says, you pick your own, you know, person, your husband. Later.
Yes. Yes. He gives
and
her
it's
that
kind
permission.
Of like there is a connection between they spend the whole episode together. And then he says, you can pick.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you feel like, okay, this is a person she bonds with. So. Yeah,
but the thing is, though, is that like he's a member of the Kingsguard, and so therefore,
it's definitely not.
He can't do it, right? He can't.
No,
he's unable to sort of be.
But that's where the drama is.
That's where the drama's at. You know what I mean? So there's something there. I think everybody's kind of sniffing on that a little bit and thinking, something's up there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, he even has a pretty honest Viserys. We're gonna jump to Viserys real quick here. Mm-hmm. Has a pretty honest conversation with Alicent. When he's talking to her just about like what should be done and all these different things. And then talking about Rhaenyra, and then she's still even trying to kind of heal what has happened. And then in the beginning when they're under the white, like the weirwood tree with the face and the musicians there. I almost missed this. But there's a great Nymeria reference for folks who are looking for, you know, who was that song about? Nymeria basically took her people to Dorne. It's like a super old story. And there's rumors that there might be like a Nymeria show or the 10,000 ships show that might come out. So more stuff for Westeros. But like she is there and she says, Rhaenyra, this doesn't have to be this way. What?
I know she says that and I thought,
you're kind of,
well, it's still kind of weird
having my father's children.
Yeah.
So anyway, just a little crazy. But yeah, he has a good conversation with her. And she, and I actually, I'm going to say this. This is going to sound crazy. I like Allison.
Me too. Actually, I was going to say that. Yeah, I like her and I don't like her.
Like, she's doing what her father tells her to do.
Yeah.
You know? And she's sort of like growing up and growing into this role. And she's just doing this for House Hightower. And it's sort of, I think it definitely hurts her a little bit that, like, she was so close with Rhaenyra first.
Yeah.
And this is, you can never really predict how this is going to go.
Yeah.
Right? You, like, when you play the Game of Thrones, you often have to react to different things. You know, Lionel Strong in this is also reacting. He said originally, I think it's a good play for House Valyrian. I think you should sort of go that direction.
Yeah.
He's on the King's Council and could be up for a promotion, could get promoted to a different seat of power inside that very council. And he would get a vote. Like, Corlys Velaryon is on that council. So they're talking, saying, hey, why don't you recommend, you know, my house? And I'll kind of, you know, as I grow in power, I could sort of bring you with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those type of alliances are always happening. And so Otto is also, like, on the fly trying to help out and trying to figure out, like, what to do for his house. So I like Allison. And I just wanted to kind of, you know, mention
that. Yeah, she's smart. She's empathetic. Yep.
Right. Right. So really, really cool scene between, we're getting close to the end here, Viserys and Rhaenyra at the end, when he just, like you said it earlier, which is like, you can choose.
Yeah.
I like, pick someone who's going to make you happy. And he does say, as he's walking away from her, I did doubt. I had a moment of weakness where I wavered for a moment because I had a son, but he reaffirmed to her, that's over. Right. I never actually, even to say that he wavered. Right. No, it was sort of like,
I feel his struggle. It's so good. You can feel he's honestly, he has his, the best interest in mind for his daughter and his now loves wife her. And son.
Yeah.
He's so torn.
Right. Right.
He and is very her. Honest what he says in the end. Like,
I think too, a part of him knows what because she says, well, you know, Jason Lannister knows that you're going to pass me over. Queen Rhaenys said this, or I mean, you know, Rhaenys, the queen who never was, said this as well to her. They're going to pass you over. This is not going to work.
Yeah.
He can say that, but they're going to find someone else. There'll be another council. They're going to pick another man. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and he loves his daughter, and he knows how smart she is and what she can do, how determined, all that kind of stuff. And he passes that. He trusts her with this secret. She is a dragon rider, by the way.
Yeah.
Super powerful. Yeah. So, it's interesting that he has that conversation, reaffirms to her, and her acting is so good.
Oh,
his acting is so good.
Yeah.
The acting all around in this, I have to say, is really, really good.
Yep.
I've not really seen anybody who I've been like, ah, it's a little weak. There was actually some people who were saying, there's a character later on, Laenor Velaryon, the guy, there's a dragon rider, and everyone's like, who's that other dragon rider who was...
Oh, the one who comes and saves...
Damon, yeah. Right, because Damon kind of does, they set up something where he comes out and he's the bait, he's drawing out the crab feeder, all that, so which is an epic scene, we're going to get to here in just a second. But some people were saying, like, oh, he seemed kind of, he fell kind of flat, and they were thinking, they weren't so sure about his acting or whether they liked him or not. I think you've only heard two lines from him, and we have no idea.
We haven't even seen his face that much.
I know. So I read some stuff online, just, you know what Twitter is, it's just random people saying what they're saying, and so it's crazy, right? People just blast off on Twitter, and there's whatever, you know. I do it too, and it's fun, but it is, you go out there and you can find people getting on the thread, and you're like, wow, what why with the whole Laenor? I thought it's fine, it's cool to see another dragon rider.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get more in him, and I think people will be impressed with him as well, because they have a standard, you can tell that we're gonna redo it until it's good, and their auditioning process is probably really rigorous and stuff like that. So everyone is just is killing it, which is awesome. You really can't have a drop. I mean, because it was so good in Game of Thrones, it would be very noticeable if there was a drop off here, you know? And there's not. It's actually, it's exceeding it in a lot of it, which is impressive. It's very hard to do.
Yeah.
Very hard to do. So, okay. They have their conversation, then back to the battle. We get the, I mean, it's, Viserys seems to be settled. He has a peace, which is, I'm going to get behind my daughter. I'm going to kind of support her, continue to support her in her claim for the throne. She is my heir, and I'm going to help my brother. Because truly, and everyone's like, well, you're not, the king's not wrapped up in this. Damon did this on his own.
Yep.
But Damon is his brother, and you're sort of like, that's your flesh and blood. And he's out there causing war. Whether people think it or not, they're going to think, okay, this is something that is, this is a Westerosi war. This is essentially... Yeah. I mean, you've got two members of his small council leading this war. I mean, Daemon's a former member, but still, like, they're out there leading this war. So it's like, okay, we can't lose it. It looks bad. People are being kidnapped and stuff like that. So they go out and they're going to send aid. But Daemon's like, no, I did all this. I've been out here for 3 years. I will win this on my own. I'm not. So he does the most risky.
Wow, he's been there for 3 years. It feels like, you know, we only see like two or three scenes before.
Yeah.
His big scene, and I totally missed that it's been 3 years.
3 years, because in the beginning he says, "What's three more days?"
Wow.
He's doing the hunt, and he's like, "What's three more days?" It's been 3 years. I'll wait.
Wow.
But they're like, "No, every day counts." You know, sending him 3 days earlier might have been different, but he waits a little bit, and then Daemon, it forces them to kind of go in here and do something pretty drastic.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So we can talk about that. I know it's a little bit gruesome. The gruesome part was at the beginning with the crab feeder.
Right.
At the end, I feel like you could watch a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just,
I did.
Yeah, it's from afar, and you're really just seeing Daemon out there getting, you know, taking arrows. He took a few shots.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there waving the white flag, bringing them
very
out.
Very cunning, very...
Yeah.
Let's win this at all costs. For a second, if you don't know him very well, even though we have seen him and what he's capable of, but for a second, you're like... What's he up to? Is he going to go to him and team up with him or something now?
Yeah,
because he's mad at his brother or, you know.
So you didn't know. So going into that, you had no idea what he was going to do, right?
And then
I always forget that. So you were thinking maybe he could have gone. It's either go out there and be bait, or maybe he does something like I want
completely different.
Like,
yeah.
Truce in terms of like the crab feeder comes out and, hey, I want to make an alliance with you.
Wow. Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then once it becomes clear that that's not the case, he's going to. He just totally faked that whole.
Oh yeah, he's just bringing him
white
out.
Flag thing,
right?
Which
is super devious.
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
It's like one of those things that's like super.
It's
dishonorable.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
And he still is like, don't care.
No. Yeah. He's
winning
gonna
this war.
I gotta win this
at all costs. Yeah.
But at the same time, he's not someone who's afraid of getting his hands dirty. Not at all. Because I was expecting. Okay, once I saw he's going for the kill.
Yeah.
He wants this war to be over. I thought he was just going to run out there and then his dragon comes. And, you know, I thought his dragon, because I think in the trailer for the episode, I saw something, you know, where they burn, the dragon burns all these people.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
I
yeah,
thought
yeah.
it was just his dragon coming for his rescue. And he's like, oh, I'm this powerful Targaryen. I just pull my dragon out. No, he went there not knowing that anyone really, right? He didn't know that anyone was going to come.
Yeah.
Wait, I think.
Daemon?
Yeah.
No,
he thought, I'm just going to do this on my own.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care.
So you think that's what happened?
I'm just asking.
I think we're meant to, and that's okay. See, that's good. So like, I'm glad you said that. Because
okay.
I think it's more, and you've only seen it once, right? You've only watched it one time.
Yeah.
Just recently, so we were like again traveling on a plane,
oh, yeah.
coming back from a wedding, a bit crazy. So I think they mentioned it earlier. We would need like bait. They have like some like the we would need to bait them out. So that happened early in the episode, and it happens real fast. And they're talking about what would need to happen to get them out of the caves.
Mm-hmm.
So what we don't see is they have another speaking role. Like Daemon, he does speak, and he says, "This is what I'm going to do." He tells them what he's going to do. But then we have to infer that.
Yeah.
They don't really tell us that's what happened. We just based upon the conversation prior to him going out there, we saw him talking to Corlys Velaryon and all these guys because they're staged and set up and ready to fight.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. And they had a dragon rider ready to go to torch everything. So
okay, I guess so. Yeah. But he was still ready to die.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
I mean,
you're almost like there's so many arrows flying and he's just running out there. He should have been hit like a million times.
No, he 100% was ready to go. And I think it was sort of like, I would rather die, risk death, than to have to say, yeah, my big brother came and saved me.
Yeah.
You know? That's what he did not want that at all.
Yeah.
And that's what he and Corlys are kind of talking about, being second sons and saying, nah, we're not having this. We're going to do this on our own. That's how we are. That's how we roll.
Yeah.
And he wins a lot of respect that way. It's super risky. And you can tell he's a character willing to do that.
Yeah.
Definitely willing to do that. So whereas like Viserys is more measured and more calm and, you know, waits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think some people, I don't know. Like, Viserys, to me, is still very, like, a really good king. And I think still makes good decisions. Yeah. He's made out to be kind of a fool. But yeah. I largely think he's doing a fairly decent job.
Yeah.
He's emotional. He's also tied up in, you know, wanting to, caring about his line, securing, you know, heirs and all that kind of stuff, which is super important. It's just a different thing. It's just a different
aspect. We have to remember it's been peaceful for most of his reign, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time they really have to deal with war situation here. And
yeah,
that's why he's almost like, we get, as a viewer, get frustrated
by
his reaction. You know, his counselors, or what do you call them?
Like, the small council.
They come in all the time and say, hey, there is this really, really
bad situation
and we need to do something about it.
Right, right.
He's like, eh, not now.
Right.
It's not a good time.
Not a good time for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple more Easter eggs, I guess, at the end. Super epic. I mean, obviously, Damon wins. He drags a crab feeder out there. It was pretty crazy. Goes in and kills him, and they win, and he's got all this respect. He looks epic there at the end. He looks like actually pretty awesome. So a couple more things that were mentioned just in this episode. Let's see. Rhaenyra is called the Realm's Delight. So that's something from from the book.
True, yeah.
Which is cool. And she is. She's the Realm's Delight. Mm-hmm. So that was neat to kind of see her mentioned in that way. We already mentioned the boar attack with Robert Baratheon. And then King Viserys does recall his Targaryen dreamers. He recalls the fact that, like, Dany's the dreamer led them out of Valyria. Others have dreamed. Aegon the Conqueror has had his dream, which is like a prophetic dream about the White Walkers, what will happen later on with Jon Snow and the whole end of A Song of Ice and Fire. He also then had his own dream about a child born to him, you know? And he couldn't see. He kept thinking that dream was never going to come true. He couldn't see it happening. And it happens, kind of air quote, happens in such a way that is it really what he dreamed, or did he dream something else? I think we're still questioning that. So just interesting to mention that they have these dreams and that they can sort of see into the future. Because what we had in A Song of Ice and Fire was Melisandre, who could see into her flames.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We had we had R'hllor. We had other powers. We had the House of the Undying. We had different situations where you could be told a prophecy or see the future. And so to have that, like, how are you going to do that here? Well, you still could have R'hllor. You still could have, the dragons are around. There's still magic. There's still power. But the Targaryens definitely have their dragon dreams.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting, something to keep an eye on there. But
quick question that's a little bit off topic. In the Game of Thrones series, they mention a lot, like, the old gods and the new gods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that play a role here in this? It's like 200 years before. So is this where they still believe in the old gods, or is...
Yeah, so that's a good question. They have there's the faith, there's the seven seven gods. Those are like the new gods, sort of. Often worship, if you worship the seven, you're normally from the south. The old gods typically were gods of, like, the, you know, spirits of the river and more earth, oriented sort of nature gods. And they were more like, you look at the weirwoods, and you would have a god's wood where the weirwood was at, and you could pray to the old gods. You're praying to a tree,
right? That's right? Where they always went to that tree. Okay, remember
so
that.
The god's woods were there. There's this, I mean, the lore on that is that there was a treaty back in the day between the Children of the Forest, and there was, you know, they were cutting down these different sacred trees, and so a lot of different keeps have, I mean, the lore is that they have some protection, there's some magic there, because they kept a godswood, they kept a weirwood tree there.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about all of that is that you have, later on in the series, you have Bran and Bloodraven and others who can tap into a weirwood network, and they can see through those trees. Like, they are tapped in to...
Oh, okay.
Right? Think about that. So Bran could go back in time.
True.
And he could witness all these different events. So he actually had access to see Rhaenyra right there being, listening to Nymeria's song. And this conversation between her and Allison. There's several times where she's been there with Allison Hightower. So the old gods, the old gods are sort of, they're more so worshipped in the north and up by the wall and the Starks and so on. But, like, so Catelyn, Catelyn Tully, her family worshiped the seven. So she would pray to the seven, to the mother, to the stranger, to the crone.
Yeah.
You know, and so she would pray to them. And Sansa liked the song. She liked the story. She liked the tales.
Yeah.
But then some of the other Starks would pray to the old gods. And sometimes they would pray to the old gods and the new gods, because why not just be covered across the board? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then you go to Essos, and there's all sorts of, the R'hllor is a god, right? I mean, so that's you know, the one god. And then there's the god of death, right?
Right.
So there's lots of different sort of ones. But yeah, there definitely is. The biggest thing with the Targaryens, a little history here, is that originally they weren't accepted because they do marry brother and sister.
Yeah, okay.
You know, they marry in and among their family.
Which is forbidden.
Which is not according necessarily good. I think they would have let that go, but then Aegon the Conqueror married twice. He married at the same time. He had two sister wives at the same time for most of his life. And that was heavily frowned upon.
Yeah.
That was a sin, if you will.
Yeah.
And the seven sort of were like, yeah, you can't do that. And then he was like, what are you going to do about it? And they're like, nothing. Go right ahead.
He's like, watch me.
We'll maybe change things. But secretly, they don't like it. It doesn't fit in their tenets. It's not necessarily something. Mm-hmm. But they're the most powerful. And so they're sort of like,
what are you gonna dragons. Do?
They have dragons, yeah. So they do. They have the godswood there, but they, at the same time, they also a lot of them worship the seven and pray to the seven and whatever. And the Targaryens really just sort of roll with. I mean, they're sort of like, we don't really care. I mean, they have dragons, so we can play along with the whole seven thing if you want us to or whatever. I mean, just kind of it's on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Good question though. That's a good question. Anything else? If you have any other questions, just you know, kind of spit them out here. I'll go through some Easter eggs. But if you think of something, just kind of tell me. Okay.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. So we mentioned when the Lannisters showed up, we also had this drop for Casterly Rock. The wall was mentioned. The Sunset Sea was mentioned. Casterly Rock was mentioned. It was actually said that Casterly Rock was so high that you could literally see the wall, which is actually what they say of the High Tower in Old Town. So Otto Hightower and his family have a high tower. Makes sense. They rule that area, and it's in Old Town where the Maesters are from. All the like the old citadel.
Wow.
Think of it as like a scientific sort of like academy.
Yeah.
And they're learning about those things, and so they're less into the mystic arts, right? Like Melisandre and others would be, or into the religions. They understand the faith. But
they have a more scientific approach.
Yeah, for sure. So but that's where they're from, and that's why you sort of see, you might see the Otto Hightower is close to some of the Maesters, because his group sort of, they are proximity-wise very close to one another. Even though you have Maesters come in from all over the kingdoms, like you have them, they give up their name. You never really know with a Maester. They give up their last name, and we forget who they are or who they were before. And do those family alliances still matter? They're not supposed to. But they do.
Yeah.
You remember the blind man who is up at the wall, Aemon, Maester Aemon is there. He's super old.
Oh, yes, and he ends up dying. He was a Targaryen.
He was a Targaryen. Yeah. And so in the end, he's sort of like, I almost wishing he could have done more. Should he have done more?
Yeah.
And so, the Maesters are a whole other element, I think, to watch in this series. And I think
they
have a big role.
We haven't seen them a lot.
No.
In this show, at least. Yeah. Not yet.
So. Okay, that's pretty cool. I'm trying to think if I'm sure there was plenty of other things that were really interesting and, you know, yeah.
I mentioned earlier that I really enjoy watching that little recap, and they talk about the episode, the producers and some of the actors and their characters and stuff. And I thought it was cool that they kind of gave you that hint. This episode was about growing up, leaving your childhood behind, right? And
right.
All the characters that were kind of kids before this episode, like 3 years passed, you said, or four?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three. Yeah.
3 years. Mm-hmm. That they're now, they had to go through a struggle, and then they were kind of reborn at the end of the episode with a new perspective on who they are. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So that was like, looking back now, it totally makes sense. And that, they all had their, Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
She ran away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She kind of spent the night with, what's his name?
Sir Criston Cole.
Kristen Cole. Mm-hmm. and she was attacked. They had to talk about it, her problems, and she had to talk to her dad. And then she walks out there with a little, you can see like a, you know, little smile on her face,
yeah,
almost
yeah.
like, okay, this is better than I thought. Yes. I can at least choose, and my dad's not going to push
me anymore.
And
he still has my back, and he's still kind
right,
of, you know,
yeah.
behind me and supporting me for the throne.
Yeah. Yes. And
where
then
she didn't think he was.
And then Daemon, obviously, he was reborn because he almost died, and mm-hmm. he succeeded in killing the Crab Feeder. And probably also has, now he gained some respect. He did something that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
not just the king's brother anymore.
No.
He's now the one who
seasoned.
Ended the war and, or you know,
yeah.
for now, ended the war and killed the Crab Feeder
well,
on his own.
So really what you're talking about is like there's a birth. We're celebrating the name day of Aegon II. And
oh, that's right.
We
yeah.
also have like this sort of rebirth in these characters.
Yeah.
Right? So we have this new life. We're celebrating a name day.
Yeah.
But they themselves are all sort of, you know, kind of getting revitalized,
yeah.
essentially. This episode was about that. Even King Viserys himself
yes.
Is starting to kind of feel that again. And comes out of a stupor and says, yes, send aid to my brother. Also, let me reassure
yeah.
my daughter. Let's look forward. The whole
yeah.
thing. And you start to feel like, okay, we didn't really see him. We saw him drunk. But
yeah.
that was just him dealing with a lot of the things that were going on. And then he gets mm-hmm. through that. But like you said, all the characters seem to be in a really good position in place.
At the end of the episode, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Allison.
Like, well, okay, they're,
yeah.
they're back.
Yeah.
They're all primed, I guess. So,
right.
Yeah.
Even Allison, for me, she's definitely grown up, and she has kids now, and she's confident to give the king advice, and he seeks her advice.
That's true.
Which is
that's true.
Pretty significant, I think.
You trust her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she has children. I mean, that's the thing. They have children together.
Yeah.
And I think people forget that sometimes. It's like, those are his children.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
he loves Rhaenyra, but
yeah.
he also has other children.
Yeah.
Those are her siblings.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, what's up? I mean, those are like literally your flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Siblings. They're not step or anything. Oh, they're half.
Yeah.
Half siblings. So just kind of crazy. But wanted to mention one more time mm-hmm. before we kind of wrap this up, just that the White Hart at the very end, the stag, right, that shows
mm-hmm.
up, it's considered a magical creature, essentially,
okay.
in A Song of Ice and Fire. It's super symbolic and stuff. So it also, I forgot this, it was the name of Joffrey's ship during in the Royal Fleet. It was destroyed by wildfire. So that's a connection to the series, Song of Ice and Fire.
Okay.
And yeah, so just a bit of interesting, maybe foreshadowing in some of that, just the fact that it's one looking at Rhaenyra, she lets it go, and, just really cool that it's there. So take that
yeah.
for what you will. I thought it was amazing that we saw it. Didn't expect it.
It reminds me of Narnia. Sorry.
Narnia?
Aren't
yeah.
they hunting for a white stag? At the end, when they
oh,
are
I have not
adult,
really read
okay,
it.
Never mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably, maybe.
Yeah.
You would.
But know. I think like a white stag is in general like a mystical creature in mythology.
Yeah.
Who stands for something bigger?
Yeah.
Something.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so it's just cool to see it, and I think
mm-hmm.
you know, folks were excited to kind of see that. But all right, anyways, yeah, hey, that's pretty much we've gonna. This was an extra episode just on top of this is our part two to episode three. Matt and I had our 8-minute reaction. You heard
yeah.
the energy, you felt that, hopefully, and then this is just us kind of like talking about it, breaking it down, getting Lottie's thoughts on it. All right, I wanted to
yep.
bring you on here and get your thoughts. So
congratulations, by the way, again to the newlyweds.
Yeah, congrats. They're in Hawaii on their honeymoon right now, so hopefully they're doing well and having a great time out there. And like I said, we'll be back on Sunday. I'll probably try to have the watch party back up again. Matt will be calling in by phone, and I'll have
mm-hmm.
that kind of, you know, sort of set up to where you guys can hear him, you can hear me, you can see me, and we'll be in for the watch party. I think Sir Jimmy will be back on as well. I'm not really sure how that's going to work because we're going to have Matt on the phone, so I got to
yeah,
talk
cool.
to them about that. That'll be interesting. I just set this whole phone thing up, by the way, for my podcast, an unexpected podcast talking about Rings of Power. So if you guys want to, you know, talk about Rings of Power and just sort of hear a different perspective on that. My good buddy Lane and I are talking about it. We did a Hobbit hotline where in which we took phone calls. We had like 15 people call in. That was crazy. So I've been trying to figure out the technology on that whole phone call system and getting it out to StreamYard and everything. So be looking for that. Again, Shell Cottage Radio, our podcast where we talk about Harry Potter, the Wizarding World, and who knows what else, Downton Abbey, Star Wars. I mean, who knows? It's kind of our family podcast there. And Lottie is there. Now, you're also going to be over on another podcast here
Oh,
this
yeah,
Sunday,
Sunday.
Yeah. Right? So that is the Lord of the Rings watch party, or mm-hmm. watch party Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And I'll put a link to that as well. So you're going to be talking about the Rings of Power.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Right? So yeah, you've watched it a couple times. You're going to be talking about episode 3. Mm-hmm. You're on the newbie panel, meaning right. like you're a newbie. You don't really, know a lot about the Tolkien lore.
No. Yeah. Not that much. Yeah, no.
Not that much. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's cool. I think it's great. I think it's fun because people want that perspective. And I even here today didn't even think about it before we started. It's really cool to hear your perspective mm-hmm. on some of these things. Like, what are you thinking about where this is going? Because you haven't read any of it. I haven't even really talked too much about it because I watch it and pop on here and talk to Matt and then I'm exhausted. We're dead tired by the end of it on a Sunday night. And I'm just like diving in bed, done, back up for Monday, hitting the grind. So it's actually good to sit down and hear your thoughts on it because we haven't had a chance to really.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
And just a quick shout out, by the way, we got to meet Jimmy and Kelsey this weekend. So that was super cool to meet them in person.
Yes.
And yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So friends, Sir Jimmy has been on here. You guys know him. Met Matt and I through this podcasting project and was great. And so we get to meet him in Portland. His channel, The Fantasy Network, is over there. I'll put a link for that as well. I think we've been putting links down in the episodes that he's been on. Check him out on YouTube. He's doing some breakdowns and sort of some, book to show comparison stuff or whatever, which is really cool. So, also Matt and I will be covering, I think, Rings of Power on, I think so. I think we're going to try to do this on Sundays, drop it on Mondays. We're going to be talking about this on Heroes of the Horn. So if you want some of that, we might even be doing a little comparison episode here on Bend the Knee if you guys are following that series. Huge series and having a lot of fun, again, breaking that down across different channels. So it's really cool. I think it's a great time to be a fantasy nerd because you've got all this stuff going on. And then I'm going to be an overload in like 2 weeks when Andor hits and I'm like, covering Star Wars and Andor. So
the only thing that's missing is a Harry Potter show.
So. I know, right?
please,
come on. We want that. We want that so bad. So, yeah, just crazy. But all right, friends. Well, hey, you can follow us actually together at Fleur and Bill. We have sort of our Instagram there where we update stuff on the podcast. As you guys know here, you can follow me at Wampret_2M, and you can follow Lottie's personal account at Charlotte Sue if you'd like as well. So yeah, come follow us, come check us out, come engage. What did you like about this episode? Send us a message. And by the way, if we catch some of those, we'll weave them into the next few episodes. And who knows, maybe at the end I'll have me, you, and Matt, and maybe even Lady Teresa back on just to kind of talk about, like, what do we think? Maybe Jimmy and Kelsey. We'll see. It'd be kind of fun to sit down and talk about this at the end in terms of, like, what was this like? What was this whole experience, this whole fall sort of like?
I think
because
that
there's
would be,
so much fantasy stuff
that would
going
be
on.
A blast, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, friends. Well, hey, thanks so much. Please like, please subscribe, all that good stuff. If you want to send us a raven, be sure to send that to btkcast@gmail.com. We probably will at some point. We've been super busy these first couple weeks, but we probably will take some ravens. We got a bunch of them already in here, your guys' thoughts. So keep sending those in. We might drop an episode on a Friday next week or something. I'm just kind of throwing this out there just to get your thoughts. I think people enjoy doing that. So just know that if you are writing into us, it's being read and we hope to read it on the show. So feel free to send that in to btkcast@gmail.com. Friends, we will see you guys next time. And always remember, fire and blood.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.